We do have an apology from Sir Dunlap. He did ring me about 10 minutes before I left and has admitted his apology. He's unable to attend the meeting. So we do have an apology from him. Welcome aboard, Ken. King is being listening in this conference per teleconference. So if you wish at any time during the meeting, Ken, to say, please feel free to do it. We've also happened to approve leave of absence from our friend Gloria, but Gloria is here and present, so she now becomes an elected member who is in attendance. And from there on, we'll move on to questions on notice. This is a public meeting. Questions from public held on the 3rd of July, there is nil. Questions elected members of the Airport Committee held on the 3rd of July, there are nil. Public question time. Prior to public question time, as this is a public meeting, I'll read the following quotation. This meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute taking purposes, which may be released upon request of third parties. If you do not give permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with section 20.3 of the Town of Port Ayre local law and standing orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the chairperson to do so. Now open public question time. There are no public available. There is nil. I move on to 4.2, public statement time. There is nil. Questions from members without notice. Do we have any questions from members of the committee without notice? Ken? Nothing? Jim? Any questions? Nothing? Nothing?
Thank you. Through the chair, just Member Russell mentioned about staff parking at one of our last meetings or briefings. So if we could just, is there any more update on the staff parking issue about the parking?
I'll pass it across to the director.
Except one, sorry, that's true, the question was raised at the council meeting last Wednesday. We have not received anything in writing yet.
Okay. And regarding the staff housing, or more houses to be built at the airport, when would they sort of be looked into to have some more houses, and you know, what size houses would possibly be looked into?
To the director? I don't think there's anything in the budget.
I don't think there's anything in the budget, but the land and services are currently there. Obviously, the house that we moved, it was a manager of the airport operations house.
Yep.
Has been removed from site, but water, power and everything is at that site. So there was talk of possibly duplex construction going there. And there are, how many other sites?
There's four or five.
There's four or five other sites that are actually ready to build on if we wanted.
I think my memory serves about 3 years ago, we had an old area allocated out. Then we were originally going to have eight houses in there. Then we swung it back to the three. So
it's sitting there ready.
Yeah, it is ready to go.
So through the chair, does it have to be just for airport staff? Yes. Because if we have the airport land there.
Through the chair, the planning, condition on the planning, the application at the moment is, yeah, it has to be airport staff. So
So can we ask that the designs come to us first before anything goes ahead so we can actually see exactly what's going on?
They did last time. Actually, we had representative delegates of the committee that actually went to Perth and saw the designs of the transportables that were coming up, and they were actually recommended from the people that saw them to the committee for their adoption. So there was a lot of input by the committee in those houses, and subsequently they come up through the transportables list.
Okay, and one last one is that the little natural area of land between the Bureau of Meteorology and the airport entrance road seems to be quite a natural area. I'm wondering is any of that will ever be bulldozed up with all the new proposed developments as you're coming on the right-hand side?
Through the director.
Through the chair, and the airport manager should probably correct me here, but I think we have written to
the Bureau of Meteorology seeking a release of 40 metres of that land that will come back to us.
And I think the idea of that land coming back to us is with the one possible change to the road coming in. So yes, it probably could go. And also the extension is just a third way.
Okay.
It is a nice spot.
It is a nice spot, and it's quite natural, and I thought it's something that could be enhanced as a really wonderful entrance to the airport, and maybe something could be looked into, even if it's only just a small area as you turn into the airport, because you just want something to be really spectacular as you walk, go into an international airport.
Yeah, just exactly the position you're referring to, Jen, where's that?
It's just that small triangle corner, actually, as you turn into the airport, as you turn in, it's just on the right-hand side, so rocks have been piled up, it's quite natural with the trees there, and it's starting to look quite attractive, because obviously it's being mowed more regularly, and that's
all
the heavy rains.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just had one, Mr. Chair, just on the topic of energy efficiency. What's the status of the solar farm on the airport land?
I'll pass that through to the director.
Yeah, through the chair, they have to get an update from the Manager of Economic Development. So,
through the chair, I can perhaps provide a high level update on that. We did a presentation, had 39 people, 50 people in attendance, 39 companies. At a solar presentation last week. This was the pre-briefing before the expression of interest process gets underway. There was a great deal of interest shown at that meeting, and there's some very good questions actually raised at the meeting as well. So that we're now currently working through that process. Exact timelines, I'm not sure, but Bri Holden's been running that process as the Manager of Economic Development has been looking after that one. Economic Development Officer, and we're expecting that there's going to be a number of submissions actually on that side at this stage.
So. Which reminds me, I was reading this West Australian, I think 2 weeks ago, where Port Hedland being selected for the first waste management control. Has anybody got any information what that refers to? There's a big article in the West Australian about it.
I read that too.
So, through the chair, my understanding is that was the first waste to energy plant.
Yes, that's the one.
Which is the one that we're dealing with through our waste management section.
Okay.
For, I can't think of the company's name.
New Energy.
New Energy. So they have been actually appointed Port Hedland as the situation for the first plant.
They've been given they've got the land in Madari, they've got all the DEC approvals and
EPA approvals.
With strict monitoring in place. They're currently, they've got a proposal to us about seeking waste from us. The amount of waste from us is probably a small component of the actual waste stream that they require. So they're in that process at the moment, and we're doing some work around how we enter into that agreement with them, which we've just had some advice from the clouds on whether we, you know, whether it's a major land transaction or whatever.
I can advise the board that the commission has been working with New Energy Corporation. Obviously, we're supportive of this opportunity, as we are with the solar farm opportunity around renewables. The challenge is that at this point in time, to make this an on-grid feed is going to be very challenging for Horizon Power. And my advice from Horizon that any additional fee probably won't be accepted within the group for 3 to 5 years at least. Just note that.
Thank you, Ken, for that update. We'll put that on the back burner then.
Well, it's an ongoing discussion with Horizon Power, given the fact that the new power station, 110 megawatt power station, will be commissioned over the next 2 to 3 years as well. So there's an actual item of supply of power within the Port Hedland region.
Is that a rise in power projection gas?
Yes.
Sorry?
That projection of the powerhouse, is it gas?
Yeah, in terms of the new power station, it'll be gas fired, it'll be base load. There's the issue with both solar and the New Energy Corporation's waste to energy plant is not base load power.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Any other comments?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Could we therefore have an update at the next meeting on the solar farm, just with the expressions of interest, please?
Yes. Dirk.
Thank you.
Declaration by members who have given due consideration to all matters contained in this paper presented before this meeting. Will please indicate that you are aware of it. Yes. Eight, love. Thank you. Confirmation of minutes of previous meeting. Meeting held on the 3rd of July. You will have a copy of the minutes there. Would somebody like to move?
So
if there's no points of clarification, move Councillor Zombak, second Councillor Gloria. All those in favour?
Yes.
Carried. Announcement of presiding member without discussion. I have nil. Petition deputation presentation. Put in International Airport Regional Program update in Imperium problem. We have now asked Mr. Brett Rees to give us an update on the progress of the international airport redevelopment. Thanks, Brett. Couldn't even remember his second name.
That would be Jacob.
You'd be in trouble.
Thank you, Chairman. We'll just wait for the PowerPoint presentation as well.
So, Mr. Chair, there's actually nine present, including Dr. Kim.
Nine.
Oh, yeah, big pardon, my account. Thank you.
Okay. Nice. Hopefully, I can drive. Can drive this contraption appropriately. Tend to.
Perhaps Lorraine can just press clear.
So can you just go back to the top line, just double check, make sure where I'm at. Okay, I think that's the first slide. So we'll run through the project timeframes, the interim airport improvement program and the strategic reviews as part of this presentation today. Let's go to the next slide and the one after that. Just to refresh everyone's memory, the extension of the secure airside area incorporates the enclosing of the cafe, which will be done with a security type mesh, so it still remains an outside area but becomes part of the secure area. There's a glass wall to be installed within this area through here, which allows for the separation of international arriving passengers from domestically screened passengers, so there's no screening or mixing or contamination of passengers through that area there. In terms of fire compliance, there's a relocation of a hose reel in this area here. All of the glass panels through here will be removed to increase this space and circulation through this entire area, and then there'll be a re-site of the screening point through here into this area here with associated anti-passback mechanisms. So once you're through screening, and you do come back through, you can't then walk back through that area through there. MSS security operators will man this area through here. Outside of operating hours, there will be a security screen that will actually close down in here. This allows the terminal to remain open, but this secure area becomes lockable outside of normal operational hours. Therefore, the normal terminal hours can remain unaffected. And then there's a bit of work to do just in here around the queuing points in here. So that's the interim improvement program in terms of the internal terminal works. Next slide, please.
Can I just ask a question? If you go back to the slide, if that screening shuts down and you don't get access, where do they get access to the cafe and all of that? Is that the only access point there?
Yeah, when the airport is operating, the cafe is open. So when there are flights, scheduled flights, the cafe is open. The cafe has within its lease agreement certain provisions of when it has to remain open, and so it has to open, what is it, 2 hours or an hour before, and half an hour after the last scheduled flight.
Yeah.
So the actual screening point is actually open at that point in time. If you are someone who is like a member of staff, etc., and you want to use the cafe, you will now have to come through screening to use the cafe. That is a minor downside considering the benefits to the overall operation. So in terms of having people come through screening in an orderly fashion, ahead of time, already being screened and being in that area so that when a boarding call is made, they can then just move to the aircraft. There's less anxious about having to move into the departure lounge secure area.
I'm just more concerned if... So you're saying that whole area is shut when there's no flight.
Yeah.
What happens to people that might be from out of town and they're sitting here 5 hours and they decide they want to sit in, at the airport. So where would they sit? They're not in that area where the cafe is anymore. Yeah. They have to...
The cafe's closed.
So there is seating provided within the arrivals area and they would have to sit within that area. If they arrive outside of scheduled flight times, technically there shouldn't be anyone there, but I know some people do go to the airport early and the like. So they can still be accommodated, but they won't be able to sit in the cafe. Remembering that the cafe is closed and has screens across it anyway during those times when it's not actually operating.
Where are you putting those glass panels, wet as historical glass
stained
panels?
Glass.
Stained glass. Stained glass panels will remain. And there's a couple of frosted panels in there as well.
Yeah.
So that I think they're right in that zone through there.
Yeah.
They'll actually remain because then we have these concertina doors that close through here and a little bit through here,
yeah.
which create the international area through here.
Yeah.
So we can now, we can now, but we can in the future, use both areas domestically, and then when they're internationally, it closes off. And so that glass panel actually becomes an integral part of the international area.
Mm-hmm. So they actually have to be... removed and then replaced, is that what you mean?
No, they don't have to be disturbed at all.
Okay.
No. There's some works through here that needs to be done to remove glass panels, but they're not the same way.
Perhaps the big sign that says remove glass panels is a little bit misleading because it's not the
whole lot.
I was a little bit concerned with the cafe being closed there only because if the other side of the airport is hired at any stage or anything, and the cafe wants to be the people to be the food or drinks contractor, it would be very difficult for them to be able to service an outside after hours function.
Can they still do that? What actually happens is if they're using this area in here for say a function facility, that means that we just need to do a sweep through the terminal area from a security point of view, just for the inspection of sharps and the like.
Yeah.
So if this area is manned at any time, outside of secure areas, and they haven't come through the screening point through here, then we would just need to do a quick inspection through the terminal prior to setting up the secure area again. So you could do it that way. The other way you could do it is actually physically lock off the cafe, but at this stage there's no plan to actually do that. In terms of the actual way the cafe will be managed, a lot of the knives and etc., the sharps will actually be tethered because they are unable to be removed from the kitchen. So in terms of the Office of Transport and Security, we are working with them on what the processes will be. We have to change our TSP, our Terminal Security Program. That needs updating as part of this whole process. And it's very strict requirements, and we need to factor that into our program as well as we go through. All goods that come into the cafe will now have to go through the screening point. They currently don't today, but this happens at every other airport. So, bottles, drink bottles, foodstuffs, all has to go through and be screened and then into the cafe. And that would be done outside of hours, so you would make sure that your security staff are on a little bit earlier so that you can do that process of restocking.
Thank you.
Move to the next one. So, in terms of timeframes, we've completed the internal consultation process in terms of the high-level designs and started developing the design specs. We have now appointed architects to complete the detailed scoping and structural drawings that will need to be completed. They are now appointed, and they will work through to this September timeline through here to complete that documentation. We have started talking to stakeholders in terms of Qantas and the airline operators and the border agencies and alike, and the Office of Transport and Securities. That will be ongoing through this period to the end of August, and then we'll be seeking the various approvals to implement the works, with procurement starting from September through to October and construction in the November period, with the area opening that November-December period. So at this stage, as I said, we were looking to try and do a fast track internally, but because we the BAC building compliance matters, we've had to go out to an external party to procure that work. So that's the current time frame as it sits today. Are there any questions in regard to the time frame?
Who's doing the structural drawings?
Wilkes Architects are doing the structural drawings. I believe they're also the architects that are doing the civic centre works as well. So the quotation process, there were three quotations called for.
It was all one total, because I don't remember. I don't remember a structural drawing quote coming in for them.
No, this is separate. This is, the same architect. Same three quotes were sourced for just this work.
Just this work. So this is a separate quotation.
What was the quote?
11,000.
Yeah, 11,000. Thank you. Okay. In terms of the verge amenity, which is the shelters, some landscaping, the rubbish bin compound areas, just move to the program. Thanks, Lauren. This internal consultation has been completed in the June-July period. Started developing project specs, and they'll be ongoing through into August. Procurement starting in the August period, basically from now, with those construction works finishing towards the end of August, and that area being opened up end of August, early September. That's not too complicated a project, that one in itself, and that should I don't anticipate there being any extensions to those timelines at this point in time.
That construction in August, that's next year or this year?
This year.
Today, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Last 2 weeks.
Second half of the month. Yeah.
Not tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow's the 1st of August.
No, it's meant to represent the last 2 weeks in August. Okay, the bus holding area. Next slide, please, Ryan. I should say that's obviously over the ExxonMobil site in there, so subject to any compliance matters, environment matters that we need to consider as part of establishing the remote bus parking area. Project specs are currently being developed at the moment for that one. Concept design will start in August as well, with stakeholder consultation starting once we've got some design drawings to actually show stakeholders. Going forward, and then the procurement process through September through construction, with that area also planned to be opened in the October period. Once again, that's not a major project, and in terms of critical path, that one is sort of subject to just making sure that there aren't any compliance issues, as it used to be a fuel site.
Did we decide which area it was going to be? Because last meeting we were having the area at the end of the airport. We were also talking about one where we had that building demolished. Which area are we talking about?
Okay, so here's the mobile site just through in here.
Yeah,
so there's the public car park, there's the terminal.
Yeah.
The building demolition, the services building is just over here.
So you're not going to use that?
We're using part of that. Part of that facility remains. That becomes part of the interim freight solution. And this part in here will be where we will construct and I'll get to those slides in a second, but we'll be constructing some new interim freight facilities. We need to build that and have that established by June 2014, so that enables us to build and expand this terminal over this freight facility currently sitting here. This is not the long-term solution, this is an interim solution, so this is about the pieces of the puzzle. This is about allowing us to then be able to expand this terminal unimpeded and not interrupt our freight operations. Ultimately, we want to move towards an international freight common user freight terminal and freight facility, and that planning will start early next year on that particular piece. But that's got a longer term delivery in terms of its timeframes. And I'll talk about that later in the presentation.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be a priority, that one, that bus holding one. I thought that was going to be a priority.
That's
no, not the one up there, the one down the bottom.
Yeah, the one down the
bottom. That's the one we demolished the shed for.
That's actually an ideal location for the interim freight solution, and that allows us freight to come in and out of this secure gate here, airside, landside. That's the best possible place for it. When we do the terminal expansion, we lose that,
that one goes.
Pretty much straight away when we start that construction, and we really need to have something established. So the decision's been taken that, well, you know what, we can put the bus holding facility up here, and we can actually deliver that within the same time frames, And that then enables us to use that as an interim freight solution. That is just a quick walk then across the car park here, as much as that's a walk from there. So the distances aren't too problematic in terms of their overall length. And then that enables us also to free up the space in front of the terminal, obviously, because of the bus parking.
And who's paying for the building that the transport building, the one right opposite? Who's paying for that? No, the net is paying for that.
This one here?
Yeah.
We will actually probably tender that. We will tender that and call for a freight operator to occupy that facility. Yeah. Golden Eagle Airlines currently operates the freight facility at the moment. They have a freight license at the moment. We're looking at toll for the smaller location in here, and those discussions are ongoing at the moment. So we have operators, and we'll go through a procurement process prior to constructing these facilities.
How does that fit in with the proposal for the international transport hub?
International transport hub, this is just to cater for our domestic and what little international freight we currently get. I think it's just all domestic. This is to cater for our domestic freight today.
But where do we propose to put our international transport hub then?
We start the planning for that once we've completed the review of the master plan. So we'll go through the review of the master plan this year to the end of the year, and then we'll start an economic analysis, economic review and concept design process from January next year. That will be completed within a 6-month period, and then we'll go into detailed design work, and then we'll start building that as well. I've got a slide that shows timelines on that one as well. So that's certainly in the mix, that's certainly in the planning. Before we actually start planning that, we really just need to review the land use master plan and make sure that everything's still in the right place before we start.
Are there any compliance issues using that old building in the interim?
There's been a few issues around customs and requirements there, which is more around security,
yeah.
Which we're currently working through at the moment to use the old facility, but I don't think there's been anything else.
Thanks.
Next slide. Okay, and the next one again. Next one. Okay. So the interim freight hub. I just skipped through that last slide, sorry everyone, but we already talked about the location. So in October, we will start, this one is less time critical, so we're getting so we're just sort of lining it up as to when we should be looking at this and reviewing this as part of the process. So we're looking at starting, developing the project specs and scope in October, then stakeholder consultation in October to November, design concepts, structural drawings, obviously November to December, and we start talking to tenants in that October period and securing the tenants over this period through here. Now that's a long timeline. We expect to actually have completed that sooner, but we're just allowing time for negotiation and the like. Mm-hmm. Then we'll go through procurement, approvals and construction. Obviously construction starts here, and you know, once we've also secured our tenants as well. The facility's opening in about April. No later than June is the plan at this point in time, but we'd like to get it opened ahead of schedule. So that then allows us to move into the terminal works unimpeded by the old freight facilities. Is there any questions on those timelines?
No.
Okay, strategic reviews. Okay, so there's a paper going up today with the recommendation for Reuben to undertake the next stage of consultancy process. So through we've completed the procurement process for the consultancies in this July period, appointing the consultancies in August, and then a desktop review taking place within that period. We will have a range of stakeholder and internal stakeholder workshops, so that's everyone at this table involved and key council officers, where we will be looking at previous designs, previous concepts, challenging them, and then developing a range of concepts from that. Those concepts will then, once we've updated and completed, prepared those concepts internally, we will then go out through stakeholder consultation and do a workshop with stakeholders as well, preparing final concepts which will then come back to the airport committee in that December period to be signed off as the plans that will then become that will then take out for detailed documentation, construction documentation as well. Are there any questions around these timelines here?
Does that cover the whole project, or is there any specifics that timeline covers? Does that cover your freight? Does it cover your terminal? Does it cover every other construction that's under the airport improvement plan? What's that cover?
This covers the master plan review, the terminal review, and car park and ground transport review. So this is there's those four key pieces of the works that were quoted for, that's in the paper today. That covers those specific timeframes. I've got a couple of slides later on to talk about the actual international freight piece and how that will pan out as well. Okay, so in terms of car parking and terminal, we put those together. Actually, the car park design work will probably, in terms of actual construction works, will probably be quicker than the terminal, but we're going to run those in parallel. We go through that detailed design and costing process through here, first quarter 2013, second quarter 2014, sorry. Tendering and awarding the contracts in the third quarter, with construction starting at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Oop, battery's running out on that. At the beginning of the fourth quarter, and then going through to end 2015 for the terminal, and approximately mid-2015 for the car park construction. These are obviously dependent on what are the outcomes of the consultancy reviews, what are the outcomes of the workshops, what our ultimate concepts are. So these timeframes will be dependent on what we eventually come up with and what we agree as a group is what we want to build. But they're I guess at a high level, they start to show how we intend to deliver on these projects and programs. These detailed design will actually then start once we've gone through the review of the master plan. So that will then start first quarter, second quarter 2014, with the view to that being completed early in the fourth quarter 2014. Tender and construction award would be from 2015, with construction going into, I would suspect, late 2016 to deliver on that entire program. All the roadworks, all the lot subdivisions, the freight zones, freight aprons, freight hangars, if it's a common use hangar, all the warehouse facilities, etc. So that's at a high level where we're currently sitting with this project before we move into this next piece of work.
Yeah, the car park worries me a bit. What is the constitutional requirements for the cost of the car park? Because we only finished that 2 years ago. What's the extrapolation? It's got to go in there that we didn't do originally. It's only been up there for 2 years. What is it we went wrong?
I think it's more extending, putting another exit out of the short term. That, you know, the road as you come in, you know, when you come into the airport and you go around into the short term car park, now mobile are out the road. And don't forget the Alakaiha car hires will also go. That road will probably disappear and it'll become all parking through there. So that's how that will all work, you know, because instead of having that road through the middle, we won't need the road through the middle.
So it'll just be a bigger short term.
Well, pricing might change depending if you're further away, it might be cheaper. But that's all part of that. I'm not looking to answer that question more.
So what we're doing is we're taking what's been built and improving on it, increasing it, improving the circulation, reviewing the pricing. It may be that we actually increase the pricing and look at even the pricing. Yeah, don't say that out to us. Look at increasing maybe even changing the time frames in terms of how pricing is done as well. But that really is a separate piece that we will consider as part of the business case for actually developing the car park. But really what we're looking at doing is improving the wayfinding and improving the exit process through the car park at this point in time. And so we're not getting rid of what's been done, we're actually just adding on to it. It's probably the best way to put it.
How's that timeline with your car park on construction fall in line with your presentation you gave us a little ago about the car hires? I thought it was a little bit later, because you can't go in that construction until your car hire goes into the new area.
Yeah, so it is predicated on how quickly we can actually move the car rental companies. So at this stage, this would be based on the logistics being, the freight logistics area being delivered in this financial period, and negotiations and getting an orderly movement of car rental companies into the backup facility, and hence that's why the construction timeframe actually is shown for the fourth quarter 2014, and has a similar timeline to the terminal, and so that could move around. That could move around depending on how the negotiations go, how quickly it takes to relocate.
Could you never did say that new land would not be easy? It would not be available short term. It would be quite some time before it's all done.
Yeah, for the whole subdivision.
But that's correct. You can't go ahead into your car park to relocate your hire car.
That's correct.
And that's the whole one there.
Yeah. So
I also think there was some because they're only in a license arrangement in the, you know, where the hire cars currently are.
Yeah.
That's a license. It's not a lease as such.
Yeah.
They can move from there. And there was some talk possibly that they move to the long term, and that all that's mobile there and all that becomes. So there's a few. The whole thing, whatever happens as it gets built, it will become one. So we won't have to rebuild or do anything. It will become one.
I hope not.
With the public car park, I guess we've got a bit of an idea how well it's running at the moment, and with the 30 minutes free at the beginning and that. Can we sort of get some sort of printout in the future to let us know how that's sort of running, how many people are actually utilising the car park in that first half hour? Because I think it would be really interesting to see how long people, how much they use it, the usage of it.
Well, you can get through the software. Yeah, we can print those reports.
Yeah, they used to come with the financials on them as well.
Oh, through the chair, we used to get those reports anyway. Yeah. Quarterly, maybe.
Good. Okay.
Next,
mate. Good to see
you. Okay, next slide. Okay, yep, well, that's the end of the presentation for today, and we're currently at.
Were there any questions that we haven't asked?
With the Australian Air Express, Chair, they would move that new domestic hub to freight hub. Is that right? Because they're controlled by a gold company. Is that right, Australian Air Express? Or no? Okay. That would be going out for tender. So it could be that, yes, the Australian Air Express because they, Australian Air Express, go under Golden Eagle.
I see.
Yeah. 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 That's right, yes. Thank you. You're still there, Ken?
You have to go on. I'm still here. I'm listening very diligently, no problem. Thank you.
We just had a presentation regarding the future direction.
I listened through the presentation. Thanks, Brett. That was good.
Okay, thank you. Right, we move now on to internet projects update. Item 10.1. I just wait for Councillor Jacobs to get back. Would you like to address that presentation, or do you want us to take it on board?
Happy for you to take it on board, unless there are any points of clarification.
Thank you.
Yeah, so much.
No points of clarification or discussion. Move Councillor Jacobs, second to Councillor Zwombach. Recommendation be adopted. All those in favour? Yeah. I presume 9-1. Kevin's not here.
And Mr. Chair, we'll take on board those comments earlier about the additional information.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Right, we move on.
Page 18.
Where are we?
Page 18.
Just about to get there now, thank you. Port International Airport Redevelopment Strategic Reviews. 10.2. Is there any points of clarification? Any discussions? Officer's recommendation on page
23.
Is there any points of clarification or discussion on that recommendation?
No,
quite a comprehensive discussion. No points of clarification. Okay. Is the second?
Second.
Move Councillor Gloria and second to Councillor Zombach. All those in favour? Motion carried. Thank you, Gloria.
Through you, Mr Chair, are you happy to include that additional information as part of that agenda item? And just show that it's been, I'm not sure if you want a motion on the table.
Do you need to make a recommendation to include those?
Most appropriate is probably a better word.
It's not in the officer's recommendation, so it'll have to be added as an additional recommendation. It's already accepted the officer's recommendation, so it'll have to be an addition.
So perhaps a move and a second or to accept the additional information on this quotation.
Happy to move a recommendation that there be additional information supplied as part of the reports, the officer's reports, to include project timelines. Is that right?
It's the request. It's the full details of the request for quote assessment.
Yep.
Okay, we have a move, Councillor Jacobs, second Councillor Hunt. All those in favour? Motion carried. Thank you. And now we move on to screening authority. This is in response to the question that was asked at the last meeting as the progress has been made. Is there any discussion, any comment regarding this officer's recommendation? With the officer's recommendation on page 26, it's the status and it's got to be put back to council anyhow, or to the committee.
So moved.
So moved, Councillor Zombak.
Second.
Second, Councillor Hunt. All those in favour? Motion carried. Late items as permitted by presiding member. There is nil. Motion which previous notice have been given and nil. We do have confidential items. We'll do those into confidential items. Somebody like to move that we
have
confidential. Move Councillor Jacobs.
Second.
Second, Councillor Zombak. All those in favour? Carried.
Sorry, there's no confidential items. It was just the attachment to the request for quotation. There's no further items of business.
I thought that was part and parcel.
I think that's important too.
Yeah. Okay, I've got one comment to make on that. And that is, back there, while I find it, in the recommendation, if I may, it sits in the tender process.
So, request for quotations, Mr Chair?
No, on 10.2, which we are now looking at now, in the submission evaluation, it is quoted in here by Rebean of a total redevelopment cost of $46,100. According to my additions, that's $47,880, unless I'm seeing things that I don't know of. You've got a 17,160, you've got a 3,750, you've got a 15,180, and you've got 11,790.
Yes, I can explain that. Probably not well explained. There is an additional discount to 46,100, was it? I think. Based on being awarded the entire contract. So yes, it will add up as individual pieces to more, but they've offered an additional discount if they were awarded the entire contract.
Well, we could put that in there because taking that paper there, adding it up, it's not correct.
Yeah.
We should put in that recommendation, this includes the discount.
Yeah.
If they're on condition that they receive this contract. I'd like that to be included in that recommendation. Once again. Beg your pardon.
Well, it's actually the committee's only asked to note that they are, because this wasn't done through a tender process, this was done at officer level through quotations.
Yeah, but you're asking this committee to accept something that's wrong. The price is wrong.
So the price is not wrong, but some further clarification around how the
$46,000. Now, what we've had explained to us is the fact is that if the contractor got it, his quotation of his quote, which is in here, adds up to $47,880. Is not applicable if he gets the contract. The price is $46,100. I want it to be correctly recorded. Now I think that's my prerogative.
So we can add a note, Mr. Chair, to that confidential attachment to indicate how the $46,000 was derived.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
To include the discount associated with the tender price.
One acknowledgement of this contract. This contract. The price will be as stated, $46,100. I'm happy with that. Happy with that amendment? Did somebody move the amendment be inaugurated?
Sorry, Mr. Chair, just in terms of the process, the item's already been dealt with.
Okay.
So what we'll do is clarify this confidential attachment,
yeah,
provide further information on there as to the difference between the 57,000, whatever it was, and the
46,000,
and how that discount was applied.
Yep. Okay. So I think it's essential that it should be
as a note of information.
Okay. Sorry about that. Where are we? I've lost me. Where is it? Here it is. Confidential item. Now, application for leave of absence, item 14. Any applications for leave of absence?
Just through the chair, did Catherine go into confidentiality? We didn't do that.
So at this point, where they clarify that it was not confidential item, it was just an item itself. Thanks, Councillor Gillingham.
I have an application for October.
October? What dates, Eric?
The committee meeting will not be in Portellum.
Okay. We have a application for leave. Any other application for leave of absence? Somebody like to move the leave of application be approved? Councillor Zombat?
Dates. Sorry, Eric.
Sorry.
Is it just for that one day you won't be...
No, I'm away from, let's see now, what is it, 15th of September until the 14th of October. So I'm away for 4 months.
15th to the 14th of October. Oh, you missed one meeting.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We have the application leave of absence approved by Councillor Zombak, seconded by Councillor Jacobs. All those in favour? Motion carried. No other further business. I declare the meeting closed at 1:20. Thank you, councillors and staff, for your input.
Thanks
very much, Ken.
Thanks, Ken.
Prayer. Stop.